All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to thank the Lord for a good club today, Good News Club. We had a little lower in attendance, but it certainly did not negatively impact the meeting. We had over 50 children, and it was a sweet spirit. The kids were singing out today. Thrilled my soul. I can hear children just sing all day long. It just does something to your heart, you know, just to hear their little voices of faith to rise up to the glory of God. I love it. And so we had a review game today, and it was sort of going back over the past few weeks and the lessons we've been learning, and they are catching a lot, and that's encouraging when you realize that these kids are paying attention. Even when Johnny is picking stuff out of Fred's hair and they're slapping each other, they're really listening sometimes too, you know. And sometimes you just never know what these kids are going to do. But we are thankful for that open door and thankful for our volunteers showing up faithfully. And thank you for praying for that ministry. We were talking about it earlier. We only have, we have 3 weeks before spring break. Three clubs, and then we'll have 4 clubs after spring break. So only 7 clubs before we will finish up for the year. And then we normally do not have club in the month of May. Kids are getting ready for testing and getting ready for the end of the year and all of those things. But be praying about the club, and if it's something that God puts on your heart, I certainly trust you'll pray about helping with that ministry. It is so fruitful and a blessing. It just melted my heart today. And it was kind of bittersweet. It melted my heart, but at the same time, I had an opportunity just to thank the Lord. This one little girl, she's probably 4th grade, came to me, and we were giving out Bibles to kids that did not have a Bible. And because we want to make sure that they, and I make it clear, because we always encourage them to bring their Bible to school and so that they can bring it to club, and we give them points for bringing their Bible. Well, a lot of the kids do. But then those that do not have a Bible at all, like not even one at home that has their name in it, we want to make sure they get one. And so we've gotten some nice Bibles with a good large print and that I think are great for them. But we were giving those out today, and the one little girl came to me, and I was sure she already had a Bible, or I was sure, no, this is what it was. I was sure that she had a church. And I said, well, you do have a Bible, don't you? She said, no, Pastor, I don't have a Bible. I said, well, don't you take a Bible to church? She said, Pastor, we don't go to church. And it really, you know, grieved my heart. But at the same time, here we are being able to give them a time to worship the Lord. And this is their church. Now, I would, more than anything, I'd love to see them get in church. And we are trying to encourage them and their parents to come, especially those that aren't church. But that just reminded me, hey, this may be the only church that these kids get. And to be able to provide that just get in that gymnasium and praising Jesus and singing songs, memorizing verses, giving the gospel. Folks, you just can't trade that for the world. That's just precious. And so we are thankful for what God is doing. And we did get her a Bible. And so she's got her one now. And we'll be praying for these kids to be in good Bible-believing churches. That's something good to pray that we want to certainly do. All right, 2 Corinthians. Yes, ma'am.
Can I have
PS
today?
Yes.
Is this the same girl that I
was
with?
Yes. Oh.
And she said, can you just scratch out my name and put somebody else's name? And I said, well, you know what? I've got more than one Bible in my house. So you just
need to use it
for the news club. And I mean, I really think she was sorry that she had lied.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely. And there, you know, there are several there that have actually come back and told us that, hey, I did this and please forgive me. So, yeah, we do see the Lord working in their hearts, even when they may not be totally transparent with us. But praise the Lord, just the impact that we're able to make. And I can't help but think that, you know, some of these children, again, how much they're getting at home, if at all. But thank God that their parents at least let them come to Good News Club. Isn't that a blessing? And I just count it a joy to be able to do that. And even I know, like, Ashley, you guys are doing the FCA this spring, right? I mean, you're still doing it, and it's once a month. And is that going well? Wow. So if you didn't hear that, they have a Bible study group that meets before school in the library at East Elementary, East Jackson Elementary. And you said 30 to 40? Wow, 30 to 40 kids will meet there. And that's early. That's getting there around the 7:15, 7:30, 6:30. Whoa. Wow. That's early. And, you know, thank the Lord for that. And, 6:30. That's a blessing. So just rejoicing in all these open doors. Amen. Open doors for the gospel. Well, Paul had a lot of open doors. And he said where there were open doors, there were many adversaries. He said that. It's true. As we walk along life's journey, as we're serving the Lord, we realize God is opening up doors, and we have an enemy that will try to counter. He will try to discourage. He will try to distract. He will try to deceive. He will ultimately try to divide and destroy. But thankfully, though we are weak, as we're looking at this series of being clay pots, we have a treasure within. That treasure is the gospel itself, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because Jesus is the gospel. It's Jesus who died, was buried, and rose again, and then he came back to live in us through the Holy Spirit. And we understand that Paul is teaching the Corinthians that his strength was not on the outside, his strength came from within. And let's look this tonight. Again, verse 7 is sort of our theme verse for this series. And so let's read that. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that's me and you, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Tonight I want to speak on the topic of what do we do when the vessel is broken. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful tonight for the word. I pray that you would bless in this time together and then our prayer time to follow. We commit it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we trust you to lead us. Oh God, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why does being, and there's a blank there, make us stronger? That word there is the word broken. You can write that. That's your first blank there on the outline. Why does being broken make us stronger? Anybody want to take a guess at that one? Why being broken would make us stronger? Yes, that's right. As Kathy said, we realize our need for God. Good. Anything else comes to mind? Why being broken would actually help us to be stronger. Yes, Tammy? Yes, that's right. It just encourages us to have a desire to seek Him that much more. To seek the face of God is a theme throughout the Bible. I believe there's something to be said about going after God. You know, because the Bible talks about it through the Old Testament and the New Testament. But anything else come to mind? Yeah, Becky? Not alone. Yes, because we know that being broken is something that we all experience, and God is there to meet us in that brokenness. Well, I want to talk a little bit about tonight about how this brokenness makes us stronger. Your suffering and hardships are not an obstacle to resilience. Because remember, we've been talking about man's weakness plus God's power equals resilience in ministry and serving. You have to have man's weakness plus God's power is going to bring forth resilience. It says here, your suffering and hardships are not an obstacle to resilience. They are a means to produce. That's a key word. They are a means to produce strength to help you grow and finish well. They are a means to produce strength to help you grow and finish well. I want to grow, don't you, tonight? You want to grow? I know you do, because you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night if you didn't want to grow in the Lord. I believe you want to finish well. I believe there's every person here wants to finish their course, however long it's going to be. You want to finish well. Well, I believe looking at weakness and brokenness is so important in order to do this. Can we look together over in James chapter 1? I have the references written there. But let's go over and look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And a very familiar passage here, but let's not get too familiar with it, okay? Let's look at it and let it speak to our hearts. It says here, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. That's a diversity of temptations. Somebody said that can be translated here, a diversity of adversity. We see verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh. That's the idea of producing patience. Now that word patience can also be, and as in other areas, translated endurance. They're very similar because it means simply being able to work under pressure. Like we talked about, Paul talked about in the other verse, how there's a closing in life many times, a squeeze upon our lives. But what it's producing is it's producing patience, endurance. And then verse 4 says, let's read this verse together. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now let's think about this for a minute. Let's agree tonight that it is clear in Scripture that our hardships and our afflictions are not obstacles to growth. They are a means of growth. They are a means to grow in Christ. They are designed by God to produce endurance. That's to continue being effective and fruitful for the gospel's sake and the life you live. You see, we've been talking about how these earthen vessels, we are embodying the life of Jesus. Your life and my life is embodying the death, burial, and resurrection every day. Remember we talked about those little deaths? Those areas of life where we struggle, whether it be physical, spiritual, these different areas in our life. We certainly are living out those times where we die to self, we bury those things, but we rise again in victory. And I thank God that the Lord is doing that in your life, in my life, daily. Sometimes it's bigger things, sometimes it's smaller things. Sometimes it might just be in the area of parenting. That's fresh on my mind. Parenting is an area I'm thinking, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom because I feel like there is a struggle there. There's a weakness in my own life that I'm seeing, but I'm trusting God to show His resurrection power, to break through, if you will. So we see that in James giving this this clear indication that, as it says in verse 2, it is why we should count it joy. And it's knowing this, that the trying of our faith, it's going to produce endurance. You ought to put outside to the word worketh, if you write in your Bible or you're taking notes, that your faith produces. It produces. It energizes and produces the type of patience that is going to help us to show resurrection power. And that's what the Lord is wanting us to do. Now, I'm sure you've heard of it. I've talked about it before. In fact, it's about a year and a half I talked about it. But is anybody familiar with kintsugi, the Japanese art pottery? How many of you be a little bit familiar with that? All right. Well, you've seen it, I'm sure, in pictures, and maybe you've even seen the artwork being done. But let's take a look at that. I think we may have a picture. You can get those lights there. But this piece of pottery is again Japanese art, and you'll see, of course, the cracks in this earthen vessel, this pot here, and it's a great illustration for us, because you can notice by the way they do this is they're mending pottery by carefully, get this, reattaching broken pieces with a bright gold type of paste that goes into these cracks, if you will, and through repair, the brokenness is not hidden as is obvious. It's not hidden. In fact, it's the opposite. It's highlighted. It's not only highlighted, but where it's highlighted, it's fortified. And tracing the damage, get this, tracing the damage on this pot, it actually displays restoration. It displays redemption. It displays, again, a mending, if you will. And that's what the gospel does in your life and my life. Not just the day I got saved in 2002. But since I've been saved for over the past 20-something years, I realize that every day of my life and every week and month and year of my life, those areas that are broken, and I respond in repentance and I respond in faith and humility to God, God takes that brokenness, mends it together, highlights it by His grace and the power of His resurrection, and that way He gets all the glory. Because I'm actually stronger, and because of it, and that's one of the unique things about this pottery, it's even stronger than it was before the brokenness. What a clear, vivid image of what the gospel does for us daily. The pot tells the story of redemption. This, of course, is talking about the redemption of a broken clay, earthen pottery. But, you know, do you think we can apply that to our lives? I look across this room and I see in your lives, I see, you know, an earthen vessel and lines that represent the gospel, how God's done a work in your life. God has brought brokenness and mended and brought His glory and grace to the forefront, because He gets all the glory. And your life is becoming more and more fortified in Him as we respond in faith. And you could say the same to me. 10 years you've known me, and we could say that about all believers, is that these areas in our life, and that's why we have to be careful to understand that this false teaching that the Christian life is without problems and without setbacks and hardships is not reality. We are to embody the gospel, and that's what God is teaching us here. Can you go over with me to Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5, another familiar passage there, but same truth Paul is teaching this time. Romans chapter 5, notice verses 3 and 4. Romans 5. He says this, and not only so, but Paul says, can you say that next phrase with me? But we glory in tribulations also. Now, why in the world, Paul, are you talking about glorying in tribulations? Well, he mentions it in 2 Corinthians 2. Let's continue reading. It says, tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, you ought to, in your Bible, if you make it a habit of writing your Bible, write out James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 right there. And if you have a cross-reference Bible, maybe it already says it. But then verse 4, and patience, that's that endurance. It works experience. How to live life, and that experience, hope. Hey, what's the hope? The hope is the resurrection. That suffering is the death. The tribulations are the little deaths of life. The hurts and the shame and the discouragement that can come and try to take us over. But God is going to use it actually for good. And remember the phrase I gave you last time is that God takes death and produces life. That's the gospel. Say that with me. God takes death and produces life. You may have some areas in your life you think they're dead. There's no hope. No breakthroughs on the horizon. Let me tell you something. You cling to this word and not your feelings. You cling to the precious word of God right here that God's doing a work in your life. And there is going to be hope. There is always going to be resurrection. How God brings it is totally up to God. But I'm here to tell you that we know that the Lord will even take what seems like nothing but death. This is God's going to take death to produce life. This is what He did with the gospel. He did with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's interesting that this book pointed out. And by the way, I brought some copies with me here. This is the little book that I'm going through. I'm kind of paraphrasing some things and just putting it in my own words. But this is the little book that it says for leaders, and it does make some application to church leaders. But I'm telling you what, I think this little book should be read by every believer. It's just, I believe it's just been a great encouragement. I have four copies here. I just, on donation basis, I think I maybe paid $10 for them, $10 a copy. The church did. If you'd like a copy, I encourage you to get one. You just put your money in the offering plate, but $10. But it's, that's what he really emphasizes here, is how our life is a daily demonstration of the gospel. In fact, he mentions in that book that it was the plan that Satan never saw coming. Isn't that interesting? The plan that Satan never saw coming. I'm winning. They're crucifying Jesus. Dead man. Got him. 3 days later, up from the grave he arose. Amen. What a mighty triumph over his foes. Don't that make you want to stand up and sing that song? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the resurrection. And God is doing that in your life and my life. I believe he's doing it in our church. And we need to just give him praise for it. Because that is indeed, as I mentioned here, what the Lord is doing. All right, one more verse here, please. I don't have it written here, but I would like to take you to it. And that is 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Would you look there with me at verse number 4? We've looked at this one before, but we'll look at it again. He says here, for though he, Jesus, was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth the power of God. He liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And I have a cross reference written right here, Isaiah 53. You can turn there if you would like, but Isaiah 53, a very familiar passage. And I have it written right beside this verse. It says this, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. That speaking of weakness here, his He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't come as a king, remember. He came as a servant. It says in verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. This is death. And acquainted with grief, and we hid as our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But thank God, as we get to the end of that chapter, we see that in verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You see, even in death, there was a great work being done for our salvation. And even in the practical Christian life, in the seasons where there is struggle, there is hurt, there is darkness, God is doing a wonderful, wonderful work. Let me just close with a few statements here. The cross of Jesus screams brokenness and defeat from the perspective of the world's wisdom. Someone may look at your situation and my situation, and it would just perhaps be ridicule of, hey, this just looks like total mess and defeat. God will take it as we respond in faith and obedience, and God will take it and bring forth a resurrection. I love this statement here. Jesus took the worst we could do to him and miraculously turned it and to the very best he could do for us. Let me say that again. Jesus took the very worst we could do to him and miraculously turned it into the very best he could do for us. It's the gospel. And that's why 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The cross is foolishness. The cross is weakness. The cross is shame. The cross is this and that. That's what they say. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. So brethren, I want to encourage you tonight. You may be like that little... You should not be in shame if you're like that pot and there's those lines. The only thing that is a tragedy is when we do not let God bring the healing to our lives. When we try to just live in the flesh, we try to cover up those lines. Nothing's wrong with me. I got it all together. I'm good. And we just isolate, or we cover up, and there's no healing there. No healing. But when we let the grace of God do its perfect work in the areas of our life, it is such a beautiful, beautiful piece of art that God Himself is putting together. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Scriptures tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the message that You have given to us regarding, Lord, how we look at difficulties and hardships and even failures. Lord, I pray that we would not stay down. I pray that we would live in resurrection power and live in the grace of God and the forgiveness and mercy of God and the restoration that the Holy Spirit brings as we obey, as we do what is right, oh God, and allow You to do what You desire to do. Bless my friends here tonight, every one of them, their families, Lord, their extended families. Lord, the areas in their life that You even spoke to them tonight about, take it, Lord, and use it deeply. Use it in my life. And we thank You that You are a faithful God and that we can trust You. Oh God, we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.